Supposed to prepare a shorter sermon for today. That did not work out well. So, Malcolm was supposed to be only 5 minutes. That didn't work out well. But I do have some advice for you that will help us. If you listen a little bit faster, we might get out of here quicker. All right? I heard somebody tell me that this morning. I thought that was pretty good. Anyways, that's as good as my jokes get if you know me. One thing before we get into Matthew, if you want to find Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, we've got to finish up chapter 19 today. If you're like me, most men, they have if you get a checklist in your mind, it just drives you crazy if you don't get it done. We're going through Matthew 19. We're going to complete chapter 19 today, Lord willing. But as you're doing that, I want to remind you that, speaking of Dwayne Phillips, next Sunday, we as a church are going to, if you remember, way back in September when we were outside, he shared his testimony. I still remember the title was A Life of Consequences. And it was a powerful, impactful thing that when you share your testimony. And at the end of that, he publicly surrendered to the ministry and say, I don't know what God's calling me to, but I'm standing before God's people at my church and I'm saying I'm going to go. If God sends me to do something or whatever he calls me to do, I'm going to do it. And so we're going to be ordaining him as a minister next week. And it's going to be a powerful, great. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to be raising up and sending out new people, new disciples, new ministers, whatever we can do. And hopefully you and your family, Dwayne, will be serving here for years to come. But we don't just like Pastor Will, we don't own him. We don't own you. The church doesn't own me. God is the one who is in charge. And so we have to trust that and be praying for him because the devil doesn't like it. I mean, the devil just hates what's going on right now at Fork Union Baptist. And so I would just ask that you'd be praying for Dwayne, his children, his family this week, that God would just bless them. Amen? This week, I had half of my sermon outlined. And Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 and 30, if you want to find that, the title of the sermon is Investing. And I had a totally different title for my sermon, which was Rewards. That's what I was going to, or a reward. And I was trying so hard. I was struggling. Anybody who's ever prepared a message knows sometimes you call it like sermon block or whatever. I just could not get the message together. It didn't seem like it was flowing. And Friday morning, my brother Gary Osteen at chapel at the Light Academy School, we were there. And I just told him, I was, man, pray for me. I'm just struggling with my message. And he said, Anthony, you need to quit focusing on the message and focus on the messenger. And I didn't like that at first, but I went home and I turned on some of my favorite worship music and I sat there and I focused on God for a little while. And if you don't know me, if you do know me, my typing skills are not great. I failed keyboarding in high school. And when I started focusing on the messenger, God said, hit the delete button and let me show you what I want you to preach. And so I don't care if we do run over today. You might care, but I don't because I know God gave me this message today and we're going to preach it. Amen? Amen? My fingers couldn't keep up. I was going to town and they couldn't keep up. So just to recap, let's go back through it because I know we skipped last week. 3 weeks ago, we saw where this young rich ruler, if you go back a little bit further in about 6 or 8 verses in Matthew 19, you'll see this young rich ruler comes to Jesus with this question. He says, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells this young rich man, he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions, which he had a lot of. He had a lot of money. He said, when you get all that money, give that money to the poor, leave it all behind and come follow me. And the scripture records, Matthew recorded that this man went away sad because he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to give up what he had to follow Christ and to trust Christ to give him that stuff back or maybe just to meet his provisions or whatever it was. He was too attached to it. Then the week after that, we saw where Jesus tells his disciples that it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, in fact, Christ told him, he said, it would be easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus was warning this young rich ruler. He was warning his disciples. He was warning us about the dangers of riches in this world. If we're not careful, we can allow money, possessions, any other worldly achievements, anything to pull us away and distract us from eternal things that God has for us. And the disciples, being just as human as you and me are today here, they asked Jesus, they said, well, if that's the case, then who can be saved? Because we all want worldly stuff. We're all tempted. We're all attached. They, no doubt, we talked about it. They probably wanted, they're like, man, I wish I was still back on in my lucrative fishing business. Matthew was making all kinds of money as a corrupt tax collector, and he probably was living in a tent now. Who can be saved? And Jesus said this, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Somebody needs to say amen this morning to that. Well, today we're going to see where Peter makes a statement to Jesus, and then he follows up with his question. He says, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? And at first, sometimes you can misunderstand Peter and say, is he being prideful? He's saying, well, what do I get for all that I've done? But I don't think that's what he was saying. I don't think Peter was being prideful. I don't think he was looking for a worldly prize or any kind of reward necessarily. He was just like me. And if you're like me at all, he was just like you. He just needed a little bit of assurance. Like, well, what's in store for us? Why are we doing what we're doing? So if you left out of here after those last two sermons in Matthew 19 feeling like Peter, man, is there any hope for me because I'm so attached to my new car, or my house, or my career, or my retirement, whatever it is, my plans, my sin, whatever it is that I don't want to leave behind? Hopefully, you were here last week to hear the message that Pastor Will preached. Because he reminded us last week of the faithfulness of God. He took us through Lamentations 3:22 and 23, where it says God is faithful in our trials. Even when Israel was going through a trial, God was faithful. His mercies were afresh each morning. And he took us to Psalm 78, and he told us that God has been faithful in our past. Sometimes we have to look back at the things that God has done before to us and for us and provided for us. And we say, no, God, you did it before. You're going to do it again. I'm going to trust you again. Lord, I know I'm having a hard time with my sermon, but you've never let me down, so I'm going to trust you. You came through last week and the week before that and the week before that. And then he told us that God is faithful to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you want to look that up. God is faithful, but it's also that you're good here. It's good that you're here today because Jesus is going to yet again use this opportunity to teach his disciples, to assure his disciples. And we're going to see that God is also faithful to reward those of us who decide to give up this world and follow Christ. So before we get into the scripture this morning, I'm going to do it a little bit different. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's start with just talking with the Lord this morning. Father, I just thank you this morning for an opportunity to speak. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, what you've done through the seed ministry and allowing this church to be a part of it, allowing me to have the pleasure to have been to some of these places, to go to Uganda and for being a part of a church that sends people out, budgets money and says, we're going to make it a priority to go and do what God told us to do, what Jesus said to do right before he left. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And even there, you told us, God, that we were not alone, that you'd always be with us to the end of the age. Lord, we need to be assured today. There's somebody here today, it's not just me, that needs the assurance that all that they're dealing with in life, all that they've walked away from, all that they don't know that they want to walk away from yet, or whatever it is they're dealing with, God, their heart needs to feel your assurance today. And so, Lord, we know that you're here, but we just pray that it would be truth today, that it would be real reality today, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We proclaim that freedom today, and we rebuke the evil one, and we just pray that we would learn today through your Spirit teaching us what we are to be investing in and what reward lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have Matthew 19, go to verse 27, and we're going to finish out the chapter. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Some of yours may sound a little bit different, but I love this translation if you know me, because it's just right there in your face and it's not hard to figure out. Verse 27 starts and it says this. Then Peter said to him, talking to Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then. What a powerful promise that we have from our Lord this morning. You know, I mentioned that I had to change up my sermon and what God had laid on my heart to do. And I had to go back even and scratch out stuff in my Bible and write stuff that the Lord had laid on my heart. But what I want us to notice is this. If you look right there at the very beginning, Jesus says, I assure you. I assure you. To hear God Himself in man form, to hear Christ, the Messiah, the great I Am, come to you and say, I assure you this morning. He wants to assure you this morning. The NIV says, I tell you the truth. Christ is giving them eternal truth. Christ is here to give you today. He wants to give you. That's why it's recorded in His Word. He wants to give you. He wants to give me an eternal truth today, but we have to be willing to receive it. Look at verse 27 with me again, and let's start going through this, and look at the message that God has for us today. It says this, Then Peter said to him, We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Now, the first thing we have to notice is Peter and the rest of the 12, the rest of the disciples, did in fact give up everything to follow Christ. If you want to see what it means to be a disciple of Christ, you go look at the disciples. They weren't perfect. They messed up. They messed up all the time. But guess what? They walked away from everything and trusted Christ. They had families, they had jobs, they had hobbies, they had possessions. They had all the things that we have, maybe not the same kind, but they were just as human as us, and they left it all to follow Christ. Now, did that mean that they had to abandon their family and never go back or never see their family? Of course not. So often we look at that and we look in the Bible and say, well, gosh, why would Jesus want us to do that? They still provided for their and cared for their families. They still went back and visited their families. You see that all through the New Testament when they did that. But they were Christ followers first. Does that make sense this morning? The disciples were Christ followers first. The first thing that they were going to do was follow Christ. I remember the advice that I got from a friend of mine. We were just talking about this morning. He had surgery this week. Pete Jensen, a great man of God that I can't say enough about. But I remember when I surrendered to the ministry and I was ordained and talking, I knew God was going to call me to preach somewhere. He said, I want you to remember something, Anthony. He said, God created your family and He created the family unit way before He created the church. And He said, God doesn't want you to neglect your family. He just wants you to put Him first in His life. And I always remember that. Sometimes I get busy and I'm doing other things. I'm serving other people. I'm getting caught up and maybe working on my sermon. I have to remember that God doesn't want me to neglect my family. But He does want to be first in my life. So when we find ourselves reading about giving up everything to follow Christ, it doesn't mean that we abandon our family. It doesn't mean that we abandon our responsibilities. It simply means that we are to follow Christ above all. When Dwayne and Malcolm get on the plane and they go to Honduras here in a month or so, they're not abandoning their families. They're not being reckless. They're not abandoning their career, whatever it is. They're simply doing what Christ told them to do. You see, God always calls a believer to follow us, to follow Him. It could be following it within your home. That's where it's got to start. Maybe where you work, where you hang out, to put Him first, to put His will first, to put the call upon your life first. And when you do that, you know what will happen with your family? It'll get stronger. Stronger in the faith. Stronger in unity. When you do this, your career will become your mission field. Just like Malcolm was talking about. You can be a missionary wherever you are. When you do this, we find peace wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We find peace at what we're doing because we know that we are being God's Christ followers first. And He'll open up all kinds of opportunities. This is when we experience a life with no regrets. I wish I'd have joined the military when I was younger. I wish I would have started this. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I would have taken that career path. I would have wished I'd done that. You won't have any of that because you'll start seeing God use you where you are. The Apostle Paul understood this. He understood this more than probably any of us ever will when he was sitting in prison for preaching the gospel. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is garbage. It's worthless. He goes on to say this, for His sake, I have disregarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Now, there are things in our life that we do need to abandon. There are things that we do need to leave behind to be Christ followers. Pride, dirty habits, crooked ways, perverse speech, whatever it is, stealing, whatever, lying, any kind of sin. We are to abandon the love of money. Doesn't mean that we have to be poor to be a Christ follower. But the love of money, it says, what is the root of all evil? We get tied to the world, maybe recognition, honor, whatever else might entangle us in the ways of the world or separate us from God and glue us to the world. We're to put Christ first. And we're to trust Him to make the rest work out, just like Peter and the rest of the disciples did. That's what they did. They simply said, okay, I'm going to leave my net on the shore. I'm going to leave my tax collector booth. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, and I'm going to follow you. If you ask me to do it, I'm going to do it. And we continuously go back to the Word. We go back to the Word. We go back to God in prayer, and we're reminded of the promises that God has for us. Now, I want to focus most of our time on the promises that Jesus gives you today. The promises that Jesus gives me today that we find in the Scripture. But I want to go verse by verse just because that's what we committed to do. Let's look at the promises that He gave His 12 closest followers when He was here on earth doing His ministry, the disciples, for just a few minutes. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. It says, Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new, the Son of Man sits upon His glorious throne. You who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here we see that the apostles were promised this great reward. Jesus gave it right out of His own mouth. They have great honor awaiting them. They have honor of reigning with Christ for all eternity. And Christ told them two main things that I want to point out this morning that jumped out at me. Number one is this: their reward was not for here and now. It wasn't right here. Jesus didn't say, hey, right now, tomorrow, if you follow me, you're going to have a throne and you're going to sit upon it and be glorious. That's not what He said. It was in the future. They needed to know that their reward was in the afterlife. It was in the eternal life. It was an eternal reward. Jesus assured them that when the world was made new, when He sits upon His glorious throne, He's not walking around in just rags and living in a tent with no house to live in. He's not a broken, you know, just living in a broken world. He's not just a regular man like all the rest of us are, or a woman like the rest of us are. When all is made new, when all the whole plan comes together, when He sits on His glorious throne, He tells them, He says, you that have followed me will sit on thrones in heaven. Christ knew they'd be distracted. He knew they would be discouraged. He knew they would be persecuted. He knew that they would mess up. He knew that they would doubt. So He made this promise that they could cling to, and He gave it to them. A reward that was worth waiting for them in the future. Number two, the second thing that Christ tells us that His disciples about the reward was this: they're going to be given thrones in heaven. Think about that. What kind of motivation would you need? They're going to have thrones in heaven, and they would have positions of honor in the kingdom of heaven. Even though they were asked to leave things of the world behind, even though they had to live in tents and walk everywhere following Christ, even though they were persecuted, most all of them were killed for following Christ, they had a heavenly reward awaiting for them that nobody could take away from them. Christ assured His followers that there would be a day coming where everything would be made new. And He assured them that they would be rewarded. Now again, this reward that we're talking about right now was specifically directed solely for the 12 disciples. So what reward do you and me have if we give up this world, we give up the things of this life, and we follow Christ? Look at verse 29 with me. It says this. Imagine this morning. I want you to picture this, or maybe receive this, that Jesus is talking to you this morning. Because these are His words. And He says, and everyone who has given up houses or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. So here in this one verse, we see that the apostles aren't the only one that receive eternal rewards. Verse 29 tells us that Christ has given this assurance. What does He say there? He says, most people, does He say? No, He says, everyone. That's everybody that's here. That's everybody that's listening online. That's everybody that ever was created. Everybody that ever will be created. If you decide to follow Christ, You have this reward available to you. So if you're here today and you are a true follower of Christ, listen to the reward that is promised to you. May you be encouraged this morning to drive on and to keep going forward, or maybe to step into a new area, maybe to go on a mission trip if God is leading you to step out in faith and do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. But if you're not a believer here today, and you know in your heart, God knows if you're not, if you've never decided to really give Jesus your heart and give God your heart and let Him just have control and be the Lord and the Savior of your life, if you're not, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, listen to the invitation that you have this morning. Here's three quick things that we need to note about the reward that is available to us. Number one is this: we are rewarded when we leave things behind for Christ. Again, this looks different for each of us. Right? The rich man, he needed to leave behind all of his riches because that's what kept him from Christ. That's what kept him from doing what God wanted to do. God knows my heart and He knows what I need to leave behind this morning. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, He knows my heart. He says, Anthony, this is the area that you need to get rid of, that you need to leave behind and follow me. He knows your heart. God knew the young rich man's heart. That's why He used his possessions and his riches as an example. Say, go get rid of all that and then come follow me. And I'm here today to remind you that Christ knows your heart. And He knows what's holding you back as well from fully surrendering to Him and His call and His will and His reward that He has for you today. Christ knows us all, and I believe that's why He uses the very things in this scripture in verse 29 that we hold the tightest as examples of what we are to give up. He knows that we love our family. He knows that we love our possessions. Everybody does that. Man, I get so hung up and I love messing with my stuff. But it also aggravates me, but I love it. I love going. I get excited. I lay in bed. If I'm going to go buy something new the next day, or I've been saving up for something, what do? I think about it all night and I can't wait. If I order something, I just can't. When the UPS man pulls in and I find out it's not the thing that I wanted, I'm like, oh man, I got to wait another day. Right? We all do that. We love our possessions. Again, this looks different for each person. Christ is not telling us that we have to abandon our families and we have to be homeless and we never can have anything nice to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us that our supreme allegiance should be to Christ above all those things and all those things that can entangle us. Matthew 6:33 says this, and we've already been through that a long time ago, but we need to hear it again. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Now, some translations, they'll say, seek the kingdom of God above all else and God's righteousness and the righteousness of God. They'll say, you know, live righteously. I love the NLT because it says, I have a responsibility to seek God above all else and live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. All these things will be added unto you. And this leads us right into the second thing that we need to see about a reward. A reward of following Christ will be 100 times more. That's what He just promised us, than we would ever give up to follow Him. 100 times more. You see, I tend to look at Matthew 6:33 as just a promise that if I follow Christ, if I follow Him and I give up this or I give up that or whatever it is for Him, then He's going to make up for that area in my life. But I forget that it's an eternal promise. Not only will we have what we need here, He will do that. But He also gives us this promise of a reward that is 100 times more than we ever gave up here and now here on earth. It's waiting for us in heaven. And that's why the Lord laid this word investment. Investments or investing on my heart for the title of this message. And this is where it really clicked in my mind. When I was 18 years old, I just graduated high school and shortly after that I got a job working at the women's prison here in Fluvanna. And I was making a whopping $19,000 a year. But I still lived at home. I was rich. I remember I had this little gun rack, which I still have. And I didn't even have a bank account. I was still a kid and somehow the state let me be in the prison. But anyways, it's crazy. And I would slide it open and just cash my paycheck and it would be a stack of $100 bills. And I would just go grab a $100 bill every now and then. And I was rich. I had no car payment, nothing. I just had no responsibilities. I just had money coming in like crazy. And my dad told me, he said, you know what? You need to start investing some of that. Start saving for your future. Well, I didn't want to do that. So he brings me over here to the Farm Bureau right across the street from our church here. Not making this up. And he helped me open up an IRA that we started for $25 per month is what I was putting in. And it killed me to put that $25 a month in there. I could have bought new toys. I could have bought new fishing poles or whatever I was into at the time, new speakers for my truck, whatever I wanted. But as my finances have risen over the years, I've been blessed to put more and more per month in this investment. Could I have used that hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars over my life that I've put in that bank account each week or each month? Absolutely. I could have blown it on all kinds of stuff. I could have used it to have better things or whatever. But it's an investment for my family. It's an investment for my future. Lord willing, one day I'll be able to go back and I'll be able to draw that money out. And because of the interest that they guarantee, it will be more than I put in. Be more than I ever even thought when I was 18 years old, when I didn't want to give up that $25. It's the same, I believe, when we look at the things upon here at earth and we give up things for Christ and for His great commission. It might cost me a promotion, right? It might cost me things that I call hobbies, time that I want to do other things. It might cost me time away from my family in Honduras or wherever else around the world. If I want to take a trip that God opened up the door and I want to go, it may mean that I struggle my whole entire life to resist a certain sin that I desire. My entire life to be a Christ follower. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Get away from me, Satan. But Christ tells us whatever it costs us here and now is nothing compared to the treasure, to the reward that we have waiting for us in heaven. 1 Corinthians, if I can talk, 2 verse 9 says this. And I love this verse right here. We need to just listen to it this morning. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. We can't even fathom what God has prepared for us in heaven. We can't even imagine the dividends that we have waiting as a reward for what we give up for Christ. So instead of us looking at following Christ as giving up things for His sake as a sacrifice, saying, well, I don't know if I want to sacrifice all that. We should be looking at following Christ and leaving the things of this world behind for His sake as an investment. It's not something negative that Jesus was telling us to do. You know, give up all these things and you can have this reward. No, He's saying, make an investment. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to invest in your eternal life. You need to invest in your internal rewards. And unlike my IRA, my dividends that I have in Christ will never run out. They're guaranteed. Why? Because God said it and God made the promise. If everything happened and all of our system crashed, I could lose the money that I've put into that IRA just like that. Gone. Never to be seen again. But unlike that IRA, my dividends that I have in Christ will never run out. Amen? And that leads us into the third thing that we need to know about our reward for following Christ. Number three is this. We have eternal life, the promise of eternal life. Who else and what in the world, in this world, could ever give you such promise? This is what the young rich ruler failed to see. He gave up eternal life for a few possessions and some money. Church, we need to listen to Christ this morning. We have a Heavenly Father who created us and knows every hair on your head. He knows every struggle you've ever had, every struggle you ever will have. He knows every mistake, every act of rebellion, everything that you've never told anybody that you've ever done. He knows it all. And He made a way for us to have eternal life by giving His Son to pay the price for our sin. What other promise do we need? But we have to be willing to seek Him first above all else. Seek His righteousness. And trust that all these things will be added unto us. Amen? So as we close, and I'm going to ask the choir to come back up, I want to go back and look at verse 30. Pull up verse 30 for me. As the choir comes and we prepare to close, it says this, "But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then." Remember, Jesus is telling His closest followers, the guys, the very men, and there were some women that followed along with Him as well. We know that. They were traveling with Jesus by foot. They were living in tents only to have what they could carry on their back or carry in their arms. It's the only thing they had. They didn't have anything. They had no fine things. They didn't have a lot of money. And Jesus promised them thrones in heaven and that they would reign with Him with all eternity. You see, Christ is assuring them. He is assuring us today and everyone who ever decides to follow Christ Whatever God has laid on your heart that you need to walk away from, that's keeping you from really surrendering and following Christ, He wants to assure you today that their investment in the kingdom of heaven will pay in dividends that are not just like 3% interest that I'm guaranteed on my IRA. They are eternal, and they are 100 times more than they would ever put in. But it will never end. So the question the Lord has for us today that He laid on my heart, where are your investments this morning? Where are your investments this morning? Are you investing in the world? Are you investing all your time, all your money, all your passion, all your desires, all of your hope maybe into the things of the world? If that's you today, just like my father took me to Farm Bureau many years ago, God is inviting you today to come make an investment in your eternal life, in your eternal rewards that God has for you. He's already got it there for you. Right? Jesus, when He was getting ready to leave, Thomas was like, well, Lord, how are we going to know? We don't know where You're going. How are we going to join You there when You leave? And Jesus said, there's plenty of room there. Don't worry, Thomas. Don't worry, guys. There's plenty of room in heaven. I've already prepared a place for you. If it wasn't so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? It's there. And He says, we don't know the way. And He says, I am the way. I am the way. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The way for your eternal reward is already there. It's standing right in front of you today. Nothing but air and opportunity is keeping you from that invitation of your eternal reward. God is inviting you today to make an investment in your eternal life, to receive that eternal reward. He knows what you need to give up. He knows what I need to give up, just like He knew the young rich ruler. But we have to decide to leave whatever He's calling us to leave behind and follow Him today. People who invest a lot of money while they're young, and they're responsible with their money, and they don't spend, and they don't go in debt. This isn't a financial lesson, because I'm not the one to teach that. But if you ever notice, they usually don't have the finer things in their 20s, and their 30s, and their 40s. When they have a family, they're driving the beater cars. They don't have the finer things. But when they reach retirement age, they get the reward of living debt-free. Maybe living, enjoying rest in their later years, traveling, enjoy life like retirement's supposed to be. While the other people who were reckless and wanted what was here in front of them right now are still working to pay off the debt that they've accrued. That's how most of us are. So I'm not putting anybody down. If you're still living in debt, we all struggle with that. That's part of being American. And it's the same with Christ, I believe. Those who live for the world seem to have it all right now. And many who live for Christ will seem to have very little. But when this life, which is like a vapor, is what the Bible tells us, here one day and gone the next, when it's over, those who have followed Christ will have all eternity to enjoy their investment, to enjoy their interest, to enjoy their dividends that they have received, their reward that they have stored in heaven. We're going to end with this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Jesus tells us this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where are your investments this morning? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for another chance to come and receive Your mercies that are afresh each morning. Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to come and hear the preaching of Your word. I thank You for another opportunity to come and be the person that gets blessed enough to be able to preach Your word. But God, if we're just here just obtaining information, we've missed the point. God, You want transformation in our heart. You want us to receive those eternal rewards today, to walk away from all the regret, walk away from all the shame, walk away from all of the bad decisions, walk away from all the things that the world tells us will satisfy our needs, and we know they won't. All the things that have failed us in the past, and to make our investments with You, to receive that eternal reward that just seeps over into this life too, with Your peace and Your joy that You give us. God, I just pray today before we close that it won't be just another church service. That we won't be focusing on that maybe that we went a little longer, we went a little past the time. We won't be focusing on this or that. We'll be focusing on what are we investing in? Have we invested in the kingdom of God? Have we invested in our eternal life? Have we invested in that eternal reward that you already have for us? Lord, I just pray today that maybe sitting right where somebody's sitting, maybe somebody listening online, that they would get their heart right with you today. And that they would make that decision to leave what they need to leave behind and to follow you. Not because it's a rule they need to keep, but because they want to receive their heavenly reward that you want them to have. Lord, I trust that your Spirit is working this morning. I just pray that we will allow it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.